Well, it's bittersweet, isn't it? It's bitter because the majority of you, hopefully watching online, can't be here, but it is sweet because at least we can be together, and it is good to be together, to see faces again, to hear the cries of our young children again, to be live in worship. I have to be brief, both in our prayer as well as in the message this morning, which of course I'm going to seek to be. So we'll begin with a prayer, then we'll open scripture and the message together. So let's pray. Eternal, compassionate God, I know that I must be brief this morning. Yet there are 1,000 things to pray for, both near and far. And yet, given the present constraints, Lord, and the need to be brief, and since we're broadcasting this live, I must also be generic in my speech. But perhaps this forced brevity is good, for never more have we been bombarded with such a flood of frantic news, the proliferation of words. So I pray simply this morning, Lord, that you would glorify yourself in our midst, glorify yourself in our world, bind up the wounded, unsettle the complacent, hear the cries of the downtrodden, crush underfoot the wicked, find the lost, bring salvation. We lament our losses before you, losses of innocence, losses of loved ones, losses of influence, losses of connection, losses of meaning, losses of passion, losses of truth, losses of love. And we ask finally that you would open us up now to your presence, to your gravity, to your love, and to your gospel. Give us ears now to hear, Lord, your holy word. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Jenna mentioned in the beginning, we are... Can we tone down? Is this really the best we could do with this echo? Okay. As Jenna mentioned in the beginning, we are starting a new series today called You Asked For It. So many people have now actually sent in their questions for us, and Jenna and I are going to do our best to respond to those questions from Scripture. I thought this morning that I would be answering the question, that's great, thanks Curtis, how do we respond as Christians to all of the alarming news? The media has never been more rampant in our lives, and as I just said in the prayer, we've never been more bombarded with news, and we're listening to more news than ever through Twitter and stuff like that. So how do we as Christians respond to the news and even the concept of our constantly listening to the news? It's a really important question. However, in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, I have received 4, 5, maybe even 6 requests to speak on the topic of race, race relations, racism, and how do we as Christians respond to and think about this question? So given the cultural context we're in right now, given current events, I'm going to be addressing that topic from the pulpit this morning, and then Jenna is also going to be picking it up again next week, and that may not even yet be the end of it. We will see where we go. I take as my text for this morning Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. I'm inspired to choose this text, and I'm inspired to say much of what I say in the message today from a Black African-American scholar and Reformed theologian whose name Vodi Baucom, or Baucom, I'm not exactly sure how to say his last name, V-O-D-D-I-E, and then B-A-U-C-H-A-M. If you're seeking for somebody who's highly intelligent and theologically grounded on topic of race, race relations, and the like, I commend Vodi Baucom to you. Romans 9, 1 through 9. Beloved, what's said here in terms of race relations is simple. I'm not going to be saying much profound from the pulpit this morning. It's totally foundational. But I think that in our current context where it can be so confusing when we hear such a barrage of different language, maybe it's language that we haven't encountered before, concepts that we haven't encountered before, as Christians that we are sure to lay the foundation. And Romans 9 helps us do that. So let's turn to that text together. Beloved, listen to God's word. Paul says, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption as sons, theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Nor, because they are his descendants, are they all Abram's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the natural ethnic children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated: at the appropriate time I will return, and Sarah will have a son. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When it comes to race relations, the text before us this morning will urge us as Christians to avoid making two equal and opposite errors. On the one hand, to say that race doesn't matter or that it's not sacred. Or on the other hand, to say that race is the only thing that matters. It's the most important thing about us. It's the most sacred thing about us. According to Scripture, according to Paul in this text, we must avoid both of these equal and opposite errors, because if we engage in them, we will fall into ditches. Let's look at each of these errors in turn. First, as Christians, we must never say, race doesn't matter. It's not sacred. Because the truth of Scripture and the truth that Paul represents in our text is that, indeed, race does matter. Race is sacred. And by the way, when I use the term race here, I'm using it as it's commonly used in our world today, which is to say, when we talk about the color of one's skin or we talk about one's ethnicity, we kind of sum up race plus ethnicity, or excuse me, color of one's skin plus ethnicity under the term race. There might be different ways of defining it. We might say, for example, that there's only one race, namely the human race. But I am using the term in this sense of the color of your skin and your ethnicity. Does that matter? Absolutely. Is it sacred? Yes. Look at the pathos with which Paul refers to his own people in the first five verses of our text, the people of his own race. He says, I have increasing anguish in my heart. I wish that I could be cut off for the sake of my own people, the people of my own race, or in the Greek, my kinsmen after the flesh. Paul has a natural, passionate affection and attachment for the people of his own race, his own ethnicity, the Jewish people. For us to say, therefore, people of God, that race doesn't matter, that race is not sacred, or as Vodi says, for us to say that we should be colorblind is not biblical. We should not be colorblind. We should not deny the beauty and the goodness of our race. It's just wrong. And you know what else it is? It is an affront to God. It is to disgrace God. When God created us, He created us as diverse. When God moves to redeem us, He redeems us as diverse. When God will move to consummate the world that is yet to come in its fullness, it will be a multiracial pageant of diversity. It will be incredibly beautiful. This is why in the book of Revelation, it says that when the earth, the new heavens and new earth that is to come, comes in its fullness, you know what will happen there? The nations will bring in their glory. Part of this glory is going to be the beauty of one's skin color, of one's ethnicity, of one's race. To deny that race is sacred, to deny that race matters, is an affront to God. Instead, we as Christians ought to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow, all of the races, as Vody himself says. He's standing before a lot of people. He says, you know, look at me. He says, I've got all of this rich, beautiful melatonin in my skin that makes me black. For me to deny that it's beautiful is wrong, because to be black, to have all this rich melatonin, is beautiful. Blackness is beautiful. And that's right. Blackness is beautiful. And so is yellowness and redness and brownness and whiteness and whatever other color there is. I love the way that one of our council members put it in our devotions, as he shared devotions with us this past Tuesday at our council meeting. As he's been reflecting on current events that have been going on, he wrote this: I happened upon a rainbow the other day, and the thought crossed my mind how God created this wonderful prism of color. Not just one color, every color that can possibly be imagined by our simple brains. The combination of all these colors put together into one beam creates the purest and brightest light imaginable. Split apart by a simple vapor of water, each color delivers its incredible contribution to this display in the shape of an all-encompassing arch. With all that is currently going on, I couldn't help but think about the similarities between our cultures and this rainbow. God created us all in His image, each contributing our parts to this rainbow we call humanity. As individuals, we contribute our own specific color to this world, but only as a people bundled into one will the brightest light God intended ever develop. Race is good, friends. Race was God's idea. It is indeed sacred. Paul says, I wish that I could be cut off for my own, for the sake of my own people, the people of my own race. Now, what are the implications of this truth for us today, given current events? Well, on the one hand, we are being asked, aren't we? We're being asked to affirm that Black Lives Matter. As Christians, we should be the first ones to stand up and from the depth of our hearts and from the deepest wellsprings of passion within us, we should be able and be out there affirming in what we say and how we act that, yes, Black Lives Matter. I'm not talking about getting behind the organization, which is a different question entirely. But in terms of affirming that Black Lives Matter, absolutely yes. This is one of the implications of this truth. But there's another implication that is a bit more difficult for us now, I think. At least it is for me. And that is that there is some pressure in our culture right now, perhaps to disaffirm, in particular, whiteness. To not affirm it. I heard a story this past week of a play-by-play announcer who's been announcing calls for 28 years across the border for a sports team. And he got fired from his job because he said that all lives matter, instead of simply just saying that Black Lives Matter. Got fired. There's been a lot of language that we've heard. I don't know how much of it you have heard before, but it's all in the ether now about white privilege, whiteness, white fragility, white guilt, white shame, white systemic racism. We're being called to decolonize our bookshelves. We're being called to get rid of our white authors in some places. And whatever you want to make of all of this language, I leave that to you. But my concern is that the cumulative impact of this language and stories like the play-by-play announcer that we're hearing is that some of us might be tempted to begin to apologize for our whiteness. Because those of us who are or happen to be white may begin to feel ashamed of our whiteness. And may I just say here, very, very gently, but on the basis of scriptures, please, if you are feeling tempted to apologize for your whiteness, please don't do that. Please don't do that. We ought not apologize for anybody's color of their skin, because race, color of skin, ethnicity, these were God's idea. Black is beautiful. Red is beautiful. Yellow is beautiful. White is beautiful. Let's not repent of our whiteness. Let's repent of our sins, absolutely. Let's repent of our racism where racism exists, absolutely. And we should be the quickest ones to repent of those things. But I do not believe at all that we should go down the road of beginning to apologize for our whiteness. Paul says, my people, I wish that I could be cut off for the sake of my own people, the people of my own race. Race matters. It's God's idea, and it is sacred to Him. The other error we must not make, however, the other ditch that we can fall into is to go the equal and opposite way and say, well, race is the only thing that matters. Yes, it's sacred, but it's the only thing that matters. It's the thing that is most important about me. It's the most sacred thing about me. This too, sisters and brothers, is an error, and it will lead us into ugly ditches. In fact, the whole point that Paul is on about in Romans chapter 9, and in fact in much of the letter to Rome itself, is that he is saying, my dear Jews, people after my own flesh, kinsmen after my own flesh, you think that you are going to be saved because you are a Jew, because you've descended physically from Abraham. It's not true. Please don't pretend that the most important thing about you is your race, is the color of your skin, is the people that you come from. On the contrary, the most important thing about you is whether or not you have come to faith in Christ, whether or not you are a seed after the promise. Not physical seed of Abraham, but the seed of faith. This is the most important thing about you and the most sacred thing about you. I think this presents a challenge for us today too, don't you think? Because given all the language, some of it I just mentioned to you, it would be very easy for us today to find our primary identification when we look in the mirror at the morning or we think about ourselves to begin to say, I'm a white man, I'm a black man, or I'm a whatever other color. But we think about ourselves in terms of our race. We think in terms of being black or white. But beloved of God, this is a big problem because in the first instance, there are many things that go in to making us who we are as individual people that are important about us that go beyond race. The families that we were born into, the intellect that we have, the natural strengths that we have, the emotional intelligence that we have, the countries that we are born into, and on ago. These things are all important about us. But the most important thing, once again, let me underscore, is whether or not, it's not the color of somebody's skin, but whether or not somebody has come to Christ. This is what Paul burns with an overwhelming passion. Do my people know that Jesus is actually the Messiah? And not only my people, but Gentiles too. The question for us then, I believe this morning, in conclusion, is this. We as a church must burn for racial justice to ensure, because race is sacred. But we must burn in the church even more for the gospel, to share it, to see people believe it. We must burn for a better life for all people in the here and now and must work towards that. But we must burn even more in the church for people to be entered into the best life that is coming in the hereafter. The question is, do we burn in this way, in the ways that we must burn most of all? You know, we're hearing a lot about privilege lately, especially white privilege. I believe that we in the church need to blow up this category in terms of making it way, way bigger. Because if we're going to talk about privilege, then we need to talk about all the ways in which we as individuals might be privileged. Because we're privileged in all sorts of ways. We might be privileged by the color of our skin, but we may also be privileged because of our IQ, because of our education, because of our wealth, because of a stable upbringing, because of natural strengths and abilities and gifts that we have. And the question for us as a church is, are we using whatever privilege that we have been given for the purposes of God in this world, and chiefly among them, so that the nations will know that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we're using our privilege to spread the seed of the gospel, so that people will come to faith in Christ. Again, I like the way our council member put it in his devotional. I cannot apologize for my privilege, but I can apologize for what I do with my privilege. That is a good word. What are we doing with our privilege? Are we using it for the sake of God and His kingdom? May God give us strength to do so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, Amen.